Hi.
Hey. My name's Nobo A. Calypso, and I'm a master mystical numerologist. I'm hosting the show on BBS Radio every Friday night at 6 o'clock. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I want to uplift people to a new way of thinking. I do have to apologize for my first Friday because a lot of my friends had told me, you seemed awfully nervous, and I was standing in the middle of my house with a box of sugar pops trying to calm the birds down because around 6 o'clock now in Arizona time, the sun's going down. And there's two birds, Charlotte Pearl and Puddles, that are really happy. And when the sun goes down, it's almost like they're saying goodbye to the sun. So they're very active. But I have another African cockatoo that does not like when the sun goes down. She doesn't like to be alone. And she, when the sun goes down, she senses that, you know, the day's over, and she doesn't like to say goodbye to the day. She gets very boisterous about this. So I do need to apologize for my rushing what must have seemed like a very large diatribe, because I was actually trying to talk louder than the birds were talking. So I have to apologize for that. I do want to say the reason why I'm doing this show is for expansion purposes. My being a mystical numerologist, or probably any numerologist or astrologer, always embraces sacred geometry. And when you embrace sacred geometry, you deal with the purity of proportion, the purity of frequency, the purity of movement. You actually deal with the purity of an individual. And the wonderful thing about sacred geometry is that there's always room for expansion. And that's one thing that we all ought to keep in mind at all times, is that we're living on a planet that is change. Gaia is much different today than she was yesterday. Tomorrow she'll be different, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing stays the same. The energy is always changing. It merges. It's the frequency's higher. The vibrations change. There's always change. And we're living in a universe that's ever expanding. So not to embrace change, to me, is not really living in nature. And it's more or less moving against nature to say, oh, I'm just not changing, when one of our purposes of being here is to have the involution inside to change who we are, to go to a higher octave, kind of going from law to law, going to a higher octave, and then turn it around and help and to evolve the human species. That's how I look at it anyway. But we live on a planet of approximations. But the last couple thousand years and a little bit longer, we've been bamboozled to think that a lot of things are set and are not. And that's only to try to keep us into a specific mindset. So the purpose of my doing this show for you is expansion purposes. I don't really like leaning towards the term wake up. I think that that's derogatory. I don't like people, a lot of literature, a lot of New Age books that you read, and they'll say that 85% of the population is basically asleep, and they need to wake up. And there's a certain arrogance behind that, and that's not how I see movement. I see that the energies move either with us or without us. And I think it's better to move with the higher energy so that we are having that involution inside and so that we can help evolve the human species. To say most of the population is asleep reminds me of zombies or something. You know, Michael Jackson's Thriller. I always picture that when people say that it's time to wake up. When in actuality, I feel as if sleep, the sleep state, is the most healing state. So that always confuses me. In ancient Egypt, they believed that sleep and honey were the most curative things that a person could do. And I've carried that throughout my entire life. Not so much honey, but sleep. I always felt that I learned more in sleep than I did in the when I was working in the physical world. So to tell a person to wake up would be almost like jolting them out of a healing stage, and perhaps people have a different process or processes longer. But I do feel that there's been a lot of hoodwinking. We've been hoodwinked a lot, and we've been bamboozled a lot, and it's almost offensive. You know, just thinking about going to school, the type of things that they tried to get us to believe, and even as a young child, I'm sure a lot of you knew that it was just a bunch of BS, that it wasn't appropriate, that trying to get us to believe in something that the hubris of man was trying to control was really ridiculous. The stories of all our great discoverers and things like that. Intuitively, I knew that there was more, there was much more beyond what they were trying to tell me. If I heard about George Washington and the cherry tree one more time, I think my head just would have imploded. But I originally come from Philadelphia, and in Philadelphia, everything, when I was young, everything was geared around the forefathers. You had to stand in their shoes. You had to walk in their shadow. And I just thought that was a bunch of nonsense. And then as you grow and you really look into the history about the Freemasons and all the stuff that went on, you know that the intuition was correct. So the purpose of Nobo's mystical numerology is more or less to help you expand, to look and see, have I been bamboozled? Have I been hoodwinked by the hubris of man? Is it time for me to expand, to open myself up more? And I'm certainly not saying that people are not open. It's just when we get certain things put into us time and time and time and time and time and time again, we kind of know that it's not correct, but we don't have any example to show us, especially in Western civilization where everything is kept in that nice, tidy little, this is what we want the people to think box. So with mystical numerology, there's a expansion. Nobo's mystical numerology, i.e., I equate it, or to me, it's mystical numerology is the same as nature, it's the same as cosmos, and is the same as sacred geometry. I don't think there's any difference. So therefore, when I work with my clients, I see movement in their chart where they may have the same patterns, which you would call numbers, but they move. They have a frequency. So what if I sat down with somebody today, I would look at their chart, I would see the movement, I would feel the movement, and I would speak about that. But in 3 months' time, there would probably be a different frequency with the pattern. So it moves. And if people are geared towards having that involution, I see that they start moving to a higher pattern, or if they allow the environment and the circumstances within what's considered the most affect them too tragically, then I see that the frequency and their patterns have lowered. And it's up to me to counsel them on what to do with their patterns, and which is basically thought process, you know, taking yourself to a higher thought process, drowning out the negative with the positive, knowing that most things are transient and certainly emotions are transient, and that's not to minimize people's emotions, but because one event happened today, it doesn't mean that the whole world has crashed in on somebody, but it's the thought process. If someone holds on to that thought, and they hold on to that emotion of anger or hate or bitterness or jealousy or sin, guilt, or fear, they can't move higher because nature doesn't hold on to these things. Nature just continues to change. And that's what is going on in Nova's mystical numerology, and it's taken me 30 years to work with this. So that's why I'm doing the show, and again, I must apologize for the diatribe, the me trying to speak louder than the birds, which I'm not too sure of who was winning, but Sugar Pops wasn't doing the trick, and some of these birds I've had many, many years, so they're my friends. They're all my friends, but and they know me, and they know my mood well, and they certainly don't like for me to give my attention to a little plastic thing wrapped around my head. So, again, I do want to apologize, and I see that we have a caller from Matt in Arizona, and I'll take that call. Hello?
Good day, Novo. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Not too bad.
It's been a while.
Is this me, Matt? Me, Matt, client?
This is Matt Maters. I've been a long-time client of yours, and I learned from a friend that you were doing some radio show. It's been a while since my numerology was done, and I was just kind of wondering if you wouldn't oblige me and do mine.
Well, I would love to do that for you, but I'd also like to share with the listeners how interesting your chart is, if you don't mind, so that I could catch them.
No, not at all.
On what's
going on. Can
you
give my birthday and everything again?
Yeah, why don't you give that to me again?
Okay, it's November 29th, 1982, and that's Matt with two T's, M-A-D-E-R-S.
Okay, I'm just going to review the birthday and a little bit about your first name so that people know Matt has a chart that currently in New Age language would be considered indigo. A lot of parents give me the charts to their children to ask me, you know, if their child's an indigo. And I explain to them, well, you know, you do have to remember that this is a term and it's a new term, and it wouldn't be fair to the child, to the individual, to put a term on top of them for them to live with. So what I'm saying about Matt's chart is it can be considered an indigo chart, and indigos have, from what my understanding, they're having a difficult time with the consciousness today, as what Matt's been experiencing. In Matt's charts, he has a lot of 11s. He has seven very strong 11s. In fact, his birthday starts out the 29, the 29 becomes an 11. So, as I said in the last show, mystical numerology works with the Hermetic Code, and the Hermetic Code works with Trinity. So I look at the movement within the triad, within a triangle, within a three-part process. So in Matt's, his comes down to three 11s. The 11, the 2-9 turns into 11, and 1982 turns into 11. That's a very difficult life lesson to have, and what you should realize that the birth date is our life lesson. That's the things that we have to learn to do, and then our name becomes our toolbox. It gives us, you know, the we can enhance frequencies, or we could deny them, or we could put them into negative, or we can use them positively. But the life lesson tells me that for him to have three 11s, that life can be pretty difficult for him, because he has to move from one 11-2 and complete that process, go into another 11-2, plus consider the 2-9, which is the day that he was born on. So that's the 2-9 is very difficult within itself, because you're taking a feminine, the first feminine principle, the dyad, and you're smacking that right against the 9, which is very fiery and very powerful. And the two don't seem to go together. They don't seem so. His life would be constantly trying to harmonize this fiery energy that's around him, where he's really drawn to people, communicating with people. He's really drawn to helping people. He's really drawn to helping his friends, being there for his friends. But the 9 causes, if it doesn't stay within harmony, the 9 turns around and creates a lot of trouble. So what I'm feeling here is that you're still going through the 11s. You're still learning to stand on your own 2 feet. And for the readers to the readers, hello, what is this, a library? Just for the listeners to know, the 3 11s will actually end up in a very large master number called a 33, which is a very powerful. I call it a Kuan Yin pattern. It's also known as a Yeshua. It's great mercy and compassion, but it's also very revolutionary. So, Matt, what's going on with yours is these 3 11s actually vibrate to a 33, but it brings out that revolutionary, fiery, political power of the 9. And I still think you're still in the 9. I don't think that you've crossed over to the 33 yet. I think that what has to happen is you have to really go deep into these 11s, and then they have to merge together, and you have to start master building in your life. You have to see that your life has to move in a step-by-step process, and that's a little difficult for people born on 29th, because they are in-the-moment people. It's crazy. They like live in the moment. They don't see the consequences in life. Everything's within the moment. The passion, everything. The passion, the emotions. Everything's within the moment, and they don't look at tomorrow. And they try not to be cluttered up by the past. So they really live in the moment. And when they have friends that are in need, they're really there in the moment for them. But at the same time, with these 11s, it would mean that with Matt, with your chart, and this that I know, is that you could switch over into the negative of the 11 very quickly, because of the high sensitivity that the 11s carry. One 11 in itself would bring in great sensitivity. One 11 itself would bring in psychic ability. One 11 itself would bring in trying to be your own individual, differentiating yourself from others. But the 2 draws you back into being with people. So once there is conflict or disharmony, you could go into this fiery Mars energy very quickly. I see that through your path, you've gone from 11-2 into the 29, still looking for harmony. But you have to complete this path by going into the 22, which is the master builder. You have to start building in your life step by step. You have to remember that there's a universal law that says, and these universal laws are older, they're over 70,000 years old. Some people say that they're over 200,000 years. I don't know. I just know that they reflect nature. They work with the reflective principle, which is you have to look into nature. That's where our answers are. We reflect back. And there is a universal law that says you reap what you sow. That's in nature. And so we live this. You reap what you sow. If you nurture and you care for something and you move it step by step, it will work. If you don't move with this frequency that's in the 22, the Master Builder Manifesto, you could turn into self-destruct. So it's best, I would still counsel you not to, I would counsel you to be around more harmonious people, people that don't have a lot of conflict, people who, you know, these, what the, some Buddhists would call the wandering ghosts. You know, people who are still wandering, who are still angry. I would suggest not being around other angry people. Certainly don't be around people that are have conspiracy theories tucked up all their sleeves where, you know, the our presidents or lizard people or whatever, which is okay for them to think that, but it's not okay for you to be around this group. Be around more people that are taking leadership roles in their life. Be around people who have a greater positive attitude. And be around people that have a logical and practical approach mixed in with their intuition to move their life in a step-by-step process, meaning, okay, today I'm going to plant the seed, I'm going to nurture it and water it, and I'm going to take care of it every day. This is what you have to do. Because your path is to go into the 33, and that means that you're to work with the underdog, you know, like in a revolutionary way, to bring forth spiritual healing and to ease the suffering of the underdog, children, animals, and I know that you're very, very drawn to children. Does that answer your questions? Because we just got another call from Paula, or did you want to ask something about your patterns?
No, that pretty much explains it. I just have to move into more of a conscious mind rather than where I have been. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Good talking with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. And good luck with your show there.
Thank you. And Paula's on the line from Illinois.
Hello.
Hi, Paula from Illinois. What part of Illinois are you in?
Chicago.
Chicago. How's the weather in Chicago?
Cold, but it should get better over the weekend.
Oh, when you say cold, how's cold?
30s.
Oh, yeah, that's freezing to us in Arizona.
Yeah, we dug up our winter jackets already.
Yeah, well, I don't even go near the freezer on days like that.
That's funny.
We look at that as
Oh, my goodness. I don't like this weather at all.
How long have you been in Chicago?
30 years. I don't plan on being here for much longer. I want to move to Florida or Arizona.
Oh, okay. How can I help you, Paula?
I'm just wondering. I'm thinking about buying a property, making an offer on it. This is a property that came on the market, and the next day after I saw it, went under contract, and that was in July, and now the contract fell through, and it's back on the market.
Okay, what's your birth date?
May
Okay, what's the address of the property, just the street address?
8945 Crawford.
C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D?
Yes.
Huh. Now, when you say you want to buy this property, what do you want to buy this property for? Is it an investment, or is it for business, or what is it for?
No, it's for me to live there, but, you know, I obviously will have to sell it at some point because I do want to move.
Well, this property has a lot of eights around it.
That good or bad?
Well, it has a lot of eights. Do you know any history about this property?
No. It's funny you ask that because there aren't any disclosures, which is kind of a little difficult.
Yeah, there's some secrets about this property. I would look a little bit more deeply into, there's some secrets regarding the financial stuff around this property. Is this property on a quiet street?
No, it's off on a major street.
Okay, so there are a lot of businesses around it.
It's residential, but it's just a major street. It's like saying Main Street.
Okay.
It is a very residential area.
Okay. I would look a little bit more deeply to look at some of these secrets that this property has and mm-hmm. the finances around it. There's something going on about the finances with this property. It does.
It is a short sale.
A short sale?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what a short sale is.
it's the step before foreclosure. Like, the people cannot pay their monthly mortgage, and the bank has allowed them to sell it before it goes into foreclosure. So they're attempting to sell it in order to satisfy the bank debt.
Okay. And is it free of all liens and things like that?
That's what it would be part of the process of buying it. I would go through the normal process of checking for any liens, getting the appraisal, inspection, survey, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would suggest doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, just there's something financially going on in here, and there's I can't say whether it's major or not, but I would look into that. Is this the only property that you're looking at that you want to buy?
I've been looking for several months, and every time I would try to make an offer on something, it would kind of just be snatched up. At this point, I can continue to look, but, you know, in Chicago, it's getting colder, and it will be hard to move in a few weeks.
Okay. Could I ask you this other question? Would you be willing, if you wanted to move quickly and if you found out all the finances and everything were okay, would you be willing to look at it as an investment to resell and then move into something better in a year or two? Or do you want to look at this as a home? You know, I'm putting it because, you know, I'm from back east, and I know that when we move into a house, it's like, well, this is my home.
Right. And I would first and foremost see it as an investment. So I obviously don't want to lose money when I go to sell it. But I have a 4-year-old, and it has to feel like a home. And I know how to make any place feel like home.
Okay.
I just don't want to have any problems with it.
Yeah, there's some secrets within this property. And I would just look, I would want, if it shows that you have to do a little bit more investigating to weigh the right decision, I would just look a little deeper and see if there's liens on it, and check some things out. You know, ask for proof that there's no liens or there's no other financial obligations to this property.
Okay, and sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay, go ahead.
I was just wondering if when you say secrets, obviously that's the connotation of something hidden that's not on the surface.
Right.
But is it something related to anything spiritual, or is it just financial?
No, it's financial.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. The realtor said he thought it was kind of odd. They don't have any disclosures, and they're selling it as is, which basically means whatever's wrong with the property, I'm going to have to fix whatever
yeah.
it turns out to be.
Yeah, I would have concerns about that.
That's with any short sale you have. That situation going on, because obviously if the people cannot make their mortgage, they're not going to be making repairs. They're not going to give you money to go and change the windows out.
Right.
If they had that kind of money, they would not be in a short sale situation. Go ahead.
This property comes out with a lot of eights, which means if there are things wrong, it would be very large.
Okay.
So I would... I would look at that.
Right, and that's why I was calling, because if I submit an offer and it's accepted, it doesn't matter what the inspection reveals. It's an accepted offer, so legally I'm bound to buy it.
Yeah, I would do a little bit more digging before you did that, because the last thing that you need is in the wintertime with a 4-year-old to have major problems that... you can't fix.
Right, right. Which is why the other recourse would just be to have pay for an inspection to be done, and even then it's not a guarantee. Most inspections just look at the surface things, and then finally the last recourse would be to make a lower offer, which obviously would reduce my chances of getting the property to begin with.
Right. Do you have any friends that are into the construction industry?
Well, my brother does heating and air conditioning and plumbing. The only thing is he's like an hour away, and he's his own, you know, he's a contractor, so he's always on jobs. So he told me that he'd be glad to help me, but it just has to be a house that I'm very, very serious about.
Okay, I would have him check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I would definitely have him check it out. And I don't, you know, this is just being truthful about the vibrations around this house.
No, that's why I called, because that's what I need to hear.
Yeah, it's not to discourage you, but there are things going on here, and it looks like some of the things can be large.
No, I don't take it as though you're discouraging me. If anything, it's a buyer's market, and I can take my time. I'm not rushing. It's not a situation where I have to rush to get it.
Yeah, and really weigh the pros and cons with this property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the day that you were born on is a person that doesn't mind doing a little bit of research, you know, really getting down to know the truth. In some situations, you could be over trusting and then it kind of clobbers you in the head.
That's so true. That I do have those pendulum swings.
Yeah. So what you want to do is, you want to look at the security for you and your child first, and not something that's going to cost you a lot of money down the road.
Okay. And can I ask you really, really quick, if a property has a 10 in it, like let's say the address was 3700 or the apartment number of the condo building, the apartment number was 1009, is that a good thing?
Comes out to 191. If it comes out to a 191, it would tell me that there is something original about the place. It would tell me that I'd have to know the full address, but the first 1009 would be good, because that actually turned to a 191.
Okay. This is so fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I live and breathe these patterns. I wouldn't even think about making a move without running the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I found throughout the years it's highly accurate. It's vibrational. Do you know what the street is to that one? What is that, 100 or 1009?
No, I actually was asking on a related property that was 9151, and I think it was the street address was Costner.
Out to a 16-7. Yeah, I will. I'll tell you one of the. I don't know what the layout is in Chicago, but the best place for you would be not a place that's on a main street with a lot of busy, noisy traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You're better. You are good in a residential area, but more of a quiet residential area, and if you're near water, it would be ideal for you.
For me?
Yeah, it would be perfect.
Unfortunately, everything along the lakefront is pretty pricey.
Even creeks and things like that. Like if there's one of the best forms of running water is a stream. Streams, okay. And things, anything that has that running water doesn't have to be on the lake.
Is it because I'm uptight and I need to relax?
Is it because of what?
Because I'm uptight and I need the stream to relax.
I didn't hear the first one.
Is it because I'm uptight?
It's not. It's not that you're uptight, it's that it resonates with you. The sound of water resonates with you, quiet. You know, to have quiet.
Yeah.
Or that you have quiet around you, the better you can, the better you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you really should choose a place that is, has sunshine. Two.
Okay. I love sunshine. It's amazing. I do love sunshine so very much.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even see the Crawford address as being permanent.
So you're saying if I was to buy that property, I wouldn't probably be there as long as I think I would be.
No. No, you wouldn't. But I think that there would be There's secrets hidden, and there's some financial discrepancies there, and there's some, I don't like using the word issues. I don't like using the word issues with people, because I always say, what are we, a newspaper rack? You know, to me, it's like a psychobabble. But in a property, I do believe that there are some issues that really need to be seen. And okay. And really looking at the importance of these issues.
Okay. It's interesting. That I'll just tell you really quick. The realtor, who's been in his business now for about 15 years, he told me it was very peculiar that this property went to a new listing agent, and the listing agent claims they don't have any information on the property, no disclosures. It's hard to get a hold of the owners. There's no information about why the previous offers fell through.
I would be very careful.
So when you were telling me the whole secret part, it really resonated with me, because the realtor, she's like, I find it hard to believe that they don't know anything about this property, and they've received the listing. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, they're not being entirely truthful.
Yeah. So he told me that he just was very skeptical that they were on the up and up about the property.
Yeah, I could tell you right now they're not on the up and up.
Mm-hmm. And then when I went to see it today, I discovered there were renters, but, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. And I've been so frustrated because I've seen so many properties and they have structural problems, foundation problems, water leak, floods.
Yeah, I think you're looking at a property like that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank you so much for calling.
No, it's been my pleasure.
And good luck, Paula.
Okay, you take care too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, usually when I do a reading, I try to uplift the individual as much as possible, but sometimes you just have to come out, and the greatest news, the greatest uplifting news can be the truth. And this property that Paula called about, I already know is not going to... It's going to be more of a burden than she realized. It's going to cause a great deal of stress and worry. And it's really best to, I like for the my clients to use their own free will and make their own decisions. But if pressed, I would tell her, don't even consider, not one to be considered. Maybe look for. Anyway, we have a call from Helena from New Jersey. Hi, is it Helena or Helena?
Helena.
Hi.
I'm from New Jersey against me.
Oh,
hi.
Well, I'm from Philly.
Okay.
So that's refreshing to see. And I haven't been back there in over 34 years.
How can
I help you?
Well, I don't know if you do a general reading or else. I was listening to the other caller, and it's funny. I moved back here from California in 1980, gag, and I've been in the same place and have been feeling extremely stagnant. And
I'm actually surprised you're staying in the same place. How long have you been there?
Since the middle of 1980. Yeah, and what?
What's your birth date?
June 25th, 1950.
What was the reason that you moved back there?
Half looks family.
Like it looks like some sort of security thing.
Yeah.
Stability and security.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're also, you have, you, there's a challenge, there's a conflict that goes on with you, like a, what I would call a pendulum swing. There's a conflict of, well, I can either do this, but I can't do this. It seems like these two things can't somehow. It seems like there's a, when the pendulum swing, it swings one way or it swings the other way. And it's hard to find the middle ground. Let me ask you this, Helena. What type of work that you're are you doing? I hope that you're in a position of decision making and originality.
I'm not. A little bit of it is. I'm writing, and I'm also working part time in a retail store, and I am working my way back into creative life, but that's kind of scary, and financially it's been interesting.
Okay, there's your see how the pendulum swings?
Point it out to me, please, because I really would love to get through this and go forward.
Well, your movement shows movement to create something original. You have to be very, very original. But what's happening is that you can move very quickly. You learn things very, very fast, and you move fast in your learning. It's almost like having too many irons in the fire, or just you have a very quick mind, and you could jump from things of interest fast. What you need is a form of discipline and focus. Let me ask you what you, but you're very intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
But you're drawn towards, I hope in your writing that it brings out the unusual, unconventional style, because you're not a person that likes to be conventional. You're not a person that likes to be, pigeonholed. You don't want to be pigeonholed. You want to show something about yourself that's unique and your own, like, nonconformist style.
You're absolutely right. The writing that I do for pay isn't, and I just haven't been giving attention to the other writing. It's not
okay,
even that I... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go, but see how the pendulum swings? On one side, you have Helena's creative writing geared towards unconventionality, geared towards uniqueness, but then on the other side is, okay, I'm making my money doing this. You have to find the middle ground. Can I ask you your general theme? What is your general theme in writing? Is it anything to do with nature or love or family or anything like that?
No, this is the ones that I get paid for are basically traveling, about meetings and conferences and destinations.
No, I'm not interested in, it's not that I'm not interested, I'm interested in what Helena wants to write about. What is your theme?
I write more about my own experiences and the way I see things and whatever hits me. And I find that things, when I give it enough time and space, which unfortunately doesn't seem to be often, it just comes out very poetic. And before you know it, I'm sort of like Ezra Pound, and I'm kind of rhyming things, and it's kind of fun and interesting. It's nuts. I mean, but that's me, because I know I am so different. It's just, it seems like I've had this issue most of my life in making money, keeping myself afloat. I'm not saying I need to be a millionaire, but I'd like to be self-sufficient and, on even ground here.
The only way that's going to happen for you is for you to bring forth your authenticity. You have to be like almost an inventor, a pathfinder. This is my authentic self. If you do like the travel and the movement and action and change and diversity and things like that, but then there's this other part of you that's very quiet.
Yeah.
That doesn't really tell people. Can I be a little straightforward?
Please do.
I think you're holding back and really bringing out your emotional power. I think that you have a lot of emotional power and you need to bring that out. You have a lot of emotional power that you keep to yourself, almost within self-preservation. And
yeah,
that,
I guess I'm afraid of scaring people, too, I think. I don't know.
Okay, you got to let that go because your voice has to be authentic. In your writing, it has to be authentic, and it's not authentic. Give it back. So my suggestion is your path is for yours. You have a editing type thing that you do. You'll edit as you go along, and what you have to do is bring out the full power of your voice, but because it's shielded, there's self-preservation, and that has to come out. You have to have your own authentic voice, and I want to give you two suggestions. Is one, you got to write from your heart. Because you have a very busy intellectual mind. You got to get out of the mind and put your hand on your heart. How your energy flows from your heart is what you want to say. And the other thing that, I want to give you a suggestion on how to do this, although, you know, please don't think I'm being presumptuous or arrogant.
No, I don't. I mean, I sent you, and there's a kindness. And no, you're genuine.
The best thing is cluster. Do what they call cluster writing, because you'll have a way of editing it to, you know, make it. And you'll be too critical with this personal writing of yours. And you got to let those criticisms go. You could be your own worst critic with the writing. You just got to bring this passion out. Because there's a lot, and it has to be this authentic voice that you already have. So cluster writing, do you have a paper in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Is that like where you write one word and then another word and you kind of connect them?
Yeah, the first word that comes to your mind, if it's travel or love, you write, and then you circle it.
Yep,
and,
I'm with you.
And then what does that remind you of? But it has to come from your heart. Not your head. And by the time you finish a cluster, you have a whole story in front of you. And that it's called writing from the right side of the brain. And it frees you from the left side. But you do have a lot of emotional power. And I do have to say that you're one of the best themes that you can write about is love. And you do have publishing in your... first name.
Oh, really? Now,
yeah.
My birth name was Faith, F-A-I-T-H. I was adopted, and then at 18 months old, given a new birth certificate.
Okay, you should strive to have your own business.
But, yeah, I think I need to. Also, do you get anything with songwriting and singing? I will not get anything, but numerologically.
With what?
Songwriting and singing.
The whole thing is if you want to sing, if you want to songwrite, it's still also around that self-preservation. It's and the self-preservation actually has to do with faith itself.
Mm.
You have to have that faith itself to say, I can do this. I have an authentic voice. It all hinges on faith itself.
You know, and this has been a pattern that I noticed for the first time, I think, probably when I was really little, but as an adult, when I was about, I guess, I don't know, 19, 20. And it's just something that hasn't stopped with, you know, not believing in who I am and what I do.
Okay, you have to let that go because that sounds like part of that bamboozling effect. You know, we have all our corporations that actually the Western world isn't one to promote the individual. It's more or less to diminish or demote individuality because, you know, you stop being the consumer. So there's a Western culture that is really draws upon others feeling self-inadequate. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of guilt and fear etched into this fabric that needs to be let go of. So you can't you can't criticize or analyze yourself and say, okay, you can't be hard on yourself is what I'm saying. You just have to let it go and become aware of it and let it go and say, for the time I've been alive on this planet, a lot of this has been going around, has been happening to me, and I've got to let it go. Your whole thing, Helena, is to have this passionate, authentic voice. No matter what happened in the past, no matter what the environment's doing now, bring forth your authenticity. Bring forth that passion in an authentic way. And write about love. We have to, I just got a signal that I think I blah blah too long.
Listen, God bless you. Thank you so much. That was fabulous, and you're so right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure. I'll listen again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Okay, that ends the show today. And if anyone would like to get in touch with me, you could do so through BBC or write to Pelorus Jack, PelorusJack at Q.com. Pelorus Jack was the name of an Australian dolphin, so I'm kind of partial to that little guy. Thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate the callers for calling in, and I'm glad that I could be of help. And have everyone please go to a higher octave, starve out the negative with positive thinking, don't feel self-inadequate, release any sin, guilt, or fear. Breathe from the heart. If you ever have any questions, all you have to do is put your hand on your heart and breathe up from the heart to find all the answers. And I hope that we can meet some more people next Friday.